Chapter 1.
Oh, Muse, sing a song of the alchemist hero who saved the whole world from a war. The man with the plan and the power of powder who blew up the foul iron dwarves. For when an order came from the border, Zaer didn't shirk from his scheme.
Janel stopped strumming her lute, and the last chord faded off into the darkness of the forest. The gorgeous Elvenborn's long black braids and the tips of her pointy ears were tucked up under her flat-checked cap, but the firelight gleamed off her tawny brown skin and her jade-green eyes. She'd loosened her tie and undone the first couple of buttons of her shirt and vest, but her tweed hunting suit simply couldn't hide the delicious curves of her body. She frowned and laid her lute against the log that she sat on. "You can definitely keep going," I grinned, as I leaned back against the low, silken sofa that Nura, the fiery djinn cuddled up next to me, had conjured. I was the alchemist in the song, after all, and I'd never had so much as a dirty limerick written about me before. The fact that I was engaged to marry Janel sometime in the next few weeks didn't make it any less thrilling that an accomplished bard like her had taken up pen and lute to create an epic about our adventures.
"I haven't got quite the right rhyme for scheme yet,"
Janel explained.
"I thought about using plan instead, but that's a rather dull word to end on. What about team?"
Ilara squeaked as her long pink tail curled around my waist. Ilara was an adorable, freckled mouse girl with big furry ears, fluffy blonde hair, and ruby red eyes. She had shrugged off her long brown smuggling coat and was clad only in her loose white shirt, short brown leather skirt, and brown leather lace-up leggings. She was the one who'd put me in touch with the Corlems, the Elvenborn family who was smuggling the black powder and other weapons to the Iron Dwarves. Now that she'd entered into a magical prosperity contract with me that bound our fates together forever, and had thus learned all of my secrets, she was happily working as a double agent to help take down the Corlems and prevent the upcoming war that the Iron Dwarves plan to start.
"Oh, perfect!"
Janel strummed her lute again, bent her glossy braided head, and opened her wine-red lips to sing.
"He thought up a plan with the help of his clan, who formed an unbeatable team. The foxy witch with flaming locks. No, wait. The witchy fox with flaming locks."
"I really think you ought to use that term for the girl with the hair that is literally made of fire,"
Taslin pointed out. She leaned against a log with her long black cloak and her fluffy red tail wrapped around her, and her long red braid fell over one of her black-clad shoulders. Taslin was a lovely fox girl with pointy red ears, amber eyes, and creamy pale skin. She was the one who had stumbled on the secret of my magic, and she'd helped me figure out that the Iron Dwarves were planning to wage war on the River Kingdoms in the first place.
"Oh, I don't know. I kind of like the metaphor for you."
Nura patted her literally flaming tresses. The djinn's hair and skin were made of orange flame that somehow managed to set nothing on fire. But she was as warm and soft as a hot water bottle next to me, and the burning coal of her eyes matched the coals that glimmered at the edge of the fire. She'd given herself a filmy white robe that was nearly translucent, and the shifting flames of her skin glowed gently under the see-through fabric.
"It sets you apart, all djinny flame. There's nothing very special about me."
"Oh, I think there's a lot that's special about you." I stroked my hand up and down Nura's back. "You got yourself and your sisters free."
"Only with help from the rest of the liberation team."
Nura smiled and leaned her head on my shoulder. She'd started referring to me and the rest of the girls as the liberation team after we'd figured out how to break the enchantment on the lock that held her magically to the Corlems, and I'd started to like the name.
"You're the ones who are special. Nobody, except for the other djinni, had ever even asked my name before."
"Come on, we're all special here."
Ilara swept her arm back and forth, then she held up an ever-frothing mug of pale beer that Nura had conjured for her and took a swig.
"Mmm. And Janel, honey, that's not a good drinking song. Too long and too many words."
"Do go ahead and tell the bard how to write a song."
The corners of Taslin's mouth turned up in a fond smirk. She'd known Ilara for longer than any of us had known each other, and hadn't trusted the Mouse Girl much for most of that time. But the Mouse Girl seemed to take her occasional sarcastic remarks in stride.
A true creative is always willing to take constructive criticism. But thank you, Taz.
Janel smiled softly at Taslin. She was especially fond of the Fox Girl, and Taslin was always gentler with her than she was to nearly anyone else.
Anyway, I really don't get to sing enough drinking songs. What kind of thing did you have in mind, Ilara? I did have a little ditty going on in my head.
Ilara cleared her throat, held her foaming mug up to chest level, and started to sing.
We blew up the iron dwarves today. We melted their faces, hooray! We got them all soused, and the bastards passed out, and the black powder blew them away, hooray!
The little mouse girl lifted her mug up high on the last word. Then she poured a golden stream of beer into her mouth.
Oh, I love it!
Janel squealed. She bent her head and picked out a tune on her lute, sang the ditty to the chords she'd picked out, and grinned at Ilara.
There, how do you like that? It's got a good beat, and you can dance to it.
Ilara jumped up, started to clap, and shimmied her slender hips.
We should all dance.
Nora jumped off of the sofa, held out her hand to me, and snapped her fingers.
You too, Janna. I'll take care of the music. And wouldn't you all like dancing clothes?
The flames of our bonfire leapt up against the darkened trunks of the tall mountain firs around us and brightened the star-speckled night sky. The fire parted in half, and a lute and a drum shaped themselves out of the flames in the middle. The lute started to play the tune Janel had picked out while the drum kept time. The clothing of the four women changed. Instead of what they'd been wearing before, each girl was now clad in a skimpy, jeweled bra that showed off her cleavage, a pair of loose, translucent pants that showed off the curves of her legs, and a filmy, spangled scarf that wrapped around her shoulders. Taslin's ensemble was black and diamond with hints of silver. Janel's was pink and emerald with hints of green. Ilara's was red and ruby with hints of gold. And Nora's was blue and sapphire with hints of orange.
I do hope you've kept my real clothes somewhere. Those were my grandfather's hunting tweeds.
Janel hugged herself, pulled her shoulders together as if ready to shiver. Then she dropped her arms and glanced around.
Goodness! It's not as chilly as before.
I'd feel better knowing that any dwarves wandering around couldn't hear us.
Taslin warned as she drew the filmy scarf around her shoulders like a shawl.
We shouldn't sing or play too loudly, especially if we're going to be singing about killing their kin.
I've enchanted the firelight a little.
Nora started to sway her hips as she held her hands out to me.
Everywhere the firelight touches is our own little safe world. The cold outside can't touch it, and nobody outside can hear it. It's just us and the light and the song.
Then we can dance all night long if we want. I grinned, stood up, and took Nora's hot, dry hands.
Grab your partner,
Ilara chirped. She slipped her arm through Taslin's and tipped the Fox Girl a wink.
Swing her round.
Janel snapped the fingers of both hands, and the fiery drum changed to match her quicker beat as the elven-born girl started to sing.
We blew up the iron dwarves today.
The magic in Janel's song wasn't a metaphor. The lively rhythm wrapped gentle fingers around my bones, cupped my beating heart, and turned my toes to springs. The song moved each cell and sinew in my body in time with the dance, and I found myself bouncing around in a perfect jig in just a single verse. A grinning Ilara swung a smirking Taslin around the fire as I whirled with Nora. The mouse girl took Janel's arm at the end of the verse, swung Taslin off to me, and led the elven-born girl off in a twirl around the fire. Taslin threw back her head and laughed, but the smile on her face was wider than I'd ever seen it. The fox girl's feet pattered over the dry sand of the beach where we'd made our camp, and she spun and clasped my hand in perfect rhythm as we danced to Janel's song. Taslin curtsied to me at the end of the dance, stuck out her free hand to grab Janel's arm as the lovely elvenborn capered past with Nora at her elbow, and ably pushed me and Nora together as she spun off with Janel. Nora swayed in my arms and closed her coal-glow eyes. Her body was light and pliant against mine, almost insubstantial. She didn't seem to have any real weight, just a density of presence that let me know there was a boundary between the flame of her body and the world. She seemed like an illusion or a trick of the light for just a moment, and I curled my fingers into her soft body to remind myself that she was really there with me. Noura sighed and nestled her head in my shoulder as we moved. The lovely djinn was so enchanting, I barely realized that Janel's cadence had let go of me. Noura and I were swaying on our own as the gentle sound of the lute washed over us. The gorgeous djinn in my arms was the only thing in my world, and it took a long time before any other sound seeped through my consciousness. In the background of the world, the drum played a booming but frenetic beat, and the flame licked a little higher. Taslin, Janel, and Ilara danced around the fire to the beat of the drum, but each girl moved her body in her own unique way. Janel swirled her pink scarf in patterns around her as she danced. The golden bangles on her gleaming brown arms highlighted the graceful, deliberate movements of her arms, and her bare brown feet moved in practiced, repetitive patterns over the sand. Her hips swayed back and forth as she moved like the bands of a snake. Ilara shook and shimmied like an amateur burlesque dancer on talent night. Her spine swayed backward and forward as her hips described the tempting curves of desire. Her slender white hands rubbed her sheer golden scarf up and down the curves of her body as the globes of her pale ass and belly bounced enticingly. Her tail curled up and down her ass and legs as she swaggered in a sexy circle. Taslin danced like a flailing maniac. She whipped her black scarf around her head as she leapt up, kicked out her heels, and spun around like a top. Her long red braid came undone as she danced, and her bushy red hair fanned out against the sky like a fiery halo. Her amber eyes glinted with fire as she twisted and thrashed in the ecstasy of dance.
"I do like being the audience for once,"
Noura sighed as she laid her head on my shoulder.
"Aren't they fun to watch?"
I don't get it, I murmured into Noura's ear. Are you casting a cadence like Janel with your instruments?
No, they are just still in her cadence.
Noura nuzzled her hot lips along the shell of my ear. Her tongue felt like cool flame licking at my flesh.
Look at the three witches dancing round the fire. They'll go for hours if they let themselves. I just didn't want you to tire yourself out before I got to spend a little alone time with you.
Oh, I don't think I'm going to get tired for a while yet. I tilted my head so that Noura's hot flame tongue could squirm its dry way down my neck. My vision was filled with the incredibly starry sky, but the flames of Noura's hair seemed to lick around the edges of my sight.
Good, because there is so much that I want to do to you.
Noura brushed a flame lick of a kiss across my collarbone. She pressed her hands to my chest and pushed me gently backwards. I didn't hesitate, and I didn't stumble. I just folded my knees as I stared into her burning coal eyes and trusted that there would be something there to catch my fall. My back and ass landed on the low, overstuffed silk sofa. I didn't know if Noura had led me to it or if she just magicked it up, and I didn't care. I settled into the couch and held my arms out to the gorgeous djinn in front of me. Noura held her filmy blue scarf in front of her face, and the flame of her visage shone through the translucent orange-flecked material. She pursed her lips, blew a kiss, and started to shimmy her hips in a hypnotic rhythm. Sexy, I murmured. I spread my legs and patted my wool-clad thighs. But I'd rather see you in nothing at all, and on my lap.
Then that way you shall have, my master.
Noura lowered the scarf and started to swirl it around her body. As her scarf passed in front of her fiery form, her clothes erased themselves in corresponding strips, until at last she was naked. Her nude body shone like a beacon in the night as she let the scarf flutter to the ground in front of her. The curvaceous djinn cocked out her glorious hip and put her hand on her waist in a saucy pose. Then she tilted her head and winked at me.
Do you like what you see?
I love it, I breathed.
Do you?
Noura's sexy smirk broke into a wide, excited smile as red mushroom clouds flared in her cheeks.
Already? I mean, really?
How could I not? I smiled at the adorable djinn. I'd never told a girl that I loved her so quickly after meeting her. Even though I'd had a crush on Janel for ages, had a drug-fueled makeout session with Ilara the third time we'd met, and had practically offered to move in with Taslin on our first date, It had taken us all a while to say the L-word to each other. But then again, I'd never dreamed that I could love three girls who all loved me back before. Nora had pledged herself to me forever, not just as an indentured servant paying back a debt, but as a woman who wanted to be with me and bear my children. She was an immortal being who'd only just met me and who had hundreds of human lifetimes ahead of her, and I had no idea how quickly or easily Ginny usually fell in love, but it was clear that she felt strongly enough for me to offer up her loyalty to me for the remainder of my own life. She was beautiful and smart and brave and creative, and I already felt the same kind of protective, tender pangs in my heart for her that I felt for Taslin, Janel, and Ilara. So yeah, it was love for me. I was on a sled at the top of a snowy hill, but I'd already pushed myself past the point of no return. I wasn't going to get off the sled, even if it went airborne.
Oh, Sarah.
One moment, Nora stood in front of the fire, and the next, she straddled my suddenly naked thighs. Her skin was like hot silk against mine, and her eyes were glowing red coals in her face. Her flame-red lips parted to reveal a red tongue of flame over her white-hot teeth, and a gentle breeze, redolent with the scent of sweet baking bread, drifted from the oven of her mouth.
I love you, and it's going to be so much fun to be with you. I knew I picked the right master. I knew it at the party, when you asked me my name the first time.
Love at first sight? I slid my arms around Nora's waist and rocked my straining cock up between her thighs just a little. I was used to women who were made of flesh, not fire flesh, and Nora's body felt like soft, dry tongues that licked up and down my skin. But I wasn't sure if I was rubbing up into her closed thighs or dipping into the slit of her pussy. All I knew was that it made flickers of pleasure mount in my groin by the second.
You were the first person outside of home who'd ever asked me my name,
Nora breathed. She rubbed her cheek against mine and wrapped her legs around my waist.
And the way you looked at me when I told you not to ask, there was a kind of fire in your eyes that made my heart flame up my chest. When you asked me again, I knew my heart had made the right choice for me.
I want to be your right choice for as long as I'm alive. I pressed my forehead to hers and brushed a kiss against her lips. It only made me feel more fiercely protective toward Nora that she'd fallen for me just because I'd asked her name. I didn't care if I was moving faster than usual, especially since now I knew I'd be able to support as many women as I wanted to. I was her master, and that meant that I was going to take care of her and make sure that she had all the freedom and security she wanted in life no matter what. I decided that after we saved the river kingdoms from the ravages of the Iron Dwarves, I would dedicate my career to finding the real Philosopher's Stone so that I never had to leave Nora. I knew that plenty of alchemists considered it to be nothing but a metaphor for moral enlightenment, but I was pretty sure you couldn't dissolve moral enlightenment in warm wine and drink it.
I wanted to rip your shirt off and touch you all over in that room,
Nora breathed in my ear. She ran her hands up my coarse linen shirt, hooked her fingers under the laces, and then yanked both sides apart to expose my chest. Where her fingers touched the linen, there sprang up little flames, and in just a few moments, my familiar, worn-out shirt had crumbled into cool black ash. She pressed a long, warm kiss to my lips to stifle my protest. Then she pulled away slowly as she ran her sunshine-hot hands all over my naked chest.
And I know you wanted to touch me. Now we can do whatever we want to each other.
What do you want to try first? I ran my hand slowly down Nora's back and over her soft, round buttocks. My hips bucked up into her thighs as she ground her body against mine.
I want you to touch me where I'm touching you.
Nora's fingertips traced lines of flame over my pectoral muscles, and then started to circle around my areola.
Does that feel good to you?
It's nice, but I think you're going to enjoy it a lot better. I slid my hands up Nora's taut waist and cupped her round, full breasts in my hands. I had been expecting to feel two heavy flesh globes in my hands, but Nora's breasts were more like rubber balloons filled with air. I stroked my thumbs over the red spots in the middle of each, and I grinned when Nora fluttered her eyes and moaned. I didn't feel any nipples under my hand, but the red circles of flame started to glow brighter. The flare-up means that's good?
That's how I designed it.
Nora sighed. She pushed her breasts into my hands.
Do what you are doing, just a little harder.
Designed it, huh? I used my thumb and forefinger to gently pinch the very center of those circles, where the nipple would be, and I used my middle finger and ring finger to gently knead the cushion of her areolas. My cock stiffened a little more with each of Nora's hitching breaths. This isn't your final form?
I was born as a spinning spiral of fire.
Nora tilted her head back to expose her throat, and her fiery locks tumbled over her shoulders.
But I like this form. I don't have to keep track of complex gaseous dynamics to enjoy myself.
All you need to keep track of in human sex are a few crucial holes and nubs, I observed. I bent my head down and closed my mouth around Nora's right nipple.
Oh, sir.
Nora's throaty moan rumbled under my mouth. Her skin was hot, but the heat didn't dry out my tongue as I licked circles around her nipple. She was smooth, slick, and wet.
It feels good in my breasts, but it's like the feeling echoes itself right down there between my legs. I didn't know it was going to feel like that.
Did you ever touch yourself like this? I asked. I pressed a gentle kiss to the tip of her nipple. Then I switched to the other side. Now I covered my teeth with my lips and sucked the soft nub of her flesh.
Testing out response patterns.
Nora let out a low, throaty moan. Then she wiggled her hips. Her movement made pleasure shoot right through my cock and up my spine.
It's never felt like this before. The more you touch me up top, the more I want you to go down below.
This time, your wish is my command. I slid my left hand behind Nora's back while I trailed my right hand down her taut, warm stomach. I could feel her perfectly smooth skin jump and twitch under my palm as her breaths hitched, and I pressed my mouth to the crook of her neck as my right hand found the smooth cleft of her pussy.
Aluza, yes,
Nora moaned. She pumped her hips forward against my straining cock, but my hand and my penis both confirmed that she was dry as a bone down there. You really like this? I asked Nora softly.
Yes, please. Wait, why?
Nora slid her hand over my cheek.
This is no performance there, I promise.
You're just, not getting wet. I brushed the tip of my finger up and down her pussy slit.
I am made out of fire, master.
Nora put two fingers under my chin and tipped my face up so I could look her in the eyes. Her obsidian eyes gleamed in the light of her fiery face.
I don't sweat or spit or bleed. When I cry flames. I'm not moist in any way, and I really did not want you to stop.
Humans need a little moisture. I gritted my teeth a little as my hips jutted forward almost of their own accord. I wanted to fuck Nora so, so much. A little sand oil.
Sand oil it is.
Nora immediately produced a little purple bottle of something that looked both thin and viscous. If I judged by the way the liquid sloshed against the glass walls of the receptacle. She poured a thin stream of the fluid down her stomach and taut abdomen, over my questing fingers, and then over her thighs.
Is that enough?
Oh, there's no such thing as too much. I rubbed my fingers together and warmed up the slick, silky liquid between my fingers as I watched red blossoms of flame bloom and fade among the orange and yellow fire of Nora's skin. I mused that the sand oil would make most women glisten and glow, but it just highlighted the finer texture of the djinn's fiery complexion. Moon and stars, you're beautiful.
I want you inside me there,
Nora sighed. She wrapped her arms around my neck and ground her hips toward me again. Her dark eyes glowed as she leaned forward and captured my mouth in a sweet, hot kiss.
You claimed my heart, and you claimed my soul. Now, claim my body.
As you wish, I murmured into Nora's ear, and I could feel the resultant shudder of pleasure ripple through her body. I slid my fingers down the smooth cleft of her pussy, teased my wet fingertips along her slit, and brushed my thumb over the hot, pulsing button of her clit.
There! Oh!
Nora threw back her head and moaned as her flaming locks traced spirals of fire up into the black night sky. Her hips pressed forward into my hand. Her smooth pussy warmed up like a hot water bottle, and her muscles rippled against my hand like the flames of a kiln.
Oh, that feels amazing. I feel like I've been drinking homeopathic potions for years when I dance, but now I'm drinking straight tonic.
I nodded in wordless agreement and pressed my mouth to Nora's throat. My cock throbbed in aching pulses of desire under Nora's slick thighs. I wanted to bury myself as deeply as I could in the gin girl's body, but I knew that since it was her first time, I needed to take it slow. So I rubbed my thumb in gentle clockwise circles around her clitoris as my fingers gently teased aside her outside lips.
Master, I'm aching for you,
Nora moaned. She spread her legs so wide that my fingers dipped inside her impossibly hot slit. Her pussy felt like a freshly drawn bath with oil, and I twitched my fingertips gently to test the tensile limits of her body. My fingers felt as though they were enveloped in a hot bath of wax, and I could barely tell where Nora's body ended and mine began. I want to make sure, I began, but Nora reached up and slipped her slick, oil-covered fingers into my mouth. I shut up and started to suck on the gin girl's fingers. Nora's soft fingertips tasted of sweet, earthy spices and were impossibly warm on my tongue. She pressed a kiss to the tip of my nose, reached down with her free hand, and entwined her fingers with mine.
My body shapes itself to my will, and my will is that of my master's,
she said.
I'm a little more malleable than most girls. Please trust me that I am already physically ready for you.
This isn't just about me, I murmured. I slid my tongue up Nora's throat as my thumb circled her clitoris. I want to make sure that you have a good time, too. Let me pleasure you.
I'm already so hot. I'm going to erupt.
Nora moaned. Her hips pistoned forward rhythmically against my hands, and my fingers felt nearly trapped inside the hot, slick colloid of her body. Red clouds of flame blossomed under the yellow and orange flames of her skin. Her soft, smooth body grew even hotter under my skin.
If it pleases Master, pleases Master, please, Master, please.
Come for me. I traced the tip of my tongue up the shell of her ear, slid her clitoris between my index and ring finger, and rubbed the nub gently between my fingers, then whispered in her ear again. Come for me, Nora.
Master!
Nora's body rippled against mine, and her skin grew almost painfully hot against mine. Her pussy was so tight around my muscles that I couldn't move my fingers, but I could tell by the subtle pulses in my bones that her orgasm was carrying her away. As Nora's pussy clenched tight around my hand, her skin glowed brighter and brighter. Little flames started to lick from her skin against the night sky, and it became harder and harder to distinguish her skin from the light she gave off. Finally, as her sighing moans reached a pinnacle, the flames melded to create an orange and yellow halo of shining fire. It was as though her aura had suddenly become completely visible to the material world. Her skin whirled with orange and yellow spirals over ever-blooming flowers of fire.
Oh, Master, that was wonderful.
Nora collapsed into my arms, and her body flickered back down slowly. She was hot like a hot towel or a hot bowl of soup, not hot like an iron poker or like a burning ember. And that's not all. I brushed my fingertips lightly against the hot pulse of Nora's clitoris and felt her shudder again under my palm. You can feel that again, you know.
When do we get to the point where you put your cock in me?
Nora blinked up at me through fiery lashes and punctuated her question with a thrust of her hips.
I can feel how much you want me. It's radiating off of you like a burning brand.
Whenever you're ready now. I gasped a little as I rubbed my straining cock against Nora's smooth, hot pussy.
Then now.
Nora's moist pussy slowly slid onto the tip of my cock. She felt like silken fire, and just the touch of her flesh sent electric thrills up and down my spine. As she lowered herself slowly onto my shaft, her rhythmic gasping turned to an almost musical sigh, and her body grew warmer and warmer again around me. I gripped Nora's hips tight as I slid into her impossible warmth. I moved as slowly as I could to let Nora get used to the size of my cock, but the gin enveloped me at her own pace. I could feel her molten core sliding down my cock like a river of fire. I rocked slowly up into her body with each delightful pulse of her pussy, and before too long, I was buried deep inside her body up to my balls. I realized that even though Nora kept calling me master, the gin girl was taking what she wanted, and I was happy to let her have it.
Oh, yes, right there,
Nora breathed as she rocked back and forth on my body. Her hot fingers climbed up my arms and pushed me down onto a silken mattress. Her flaming hair fanned out around her face like a halo, and her torrid pussy clenched tightly shut around my shaft as if her whole body would float away if she didn't grip me.
Your cock feels so good in me.
My hips dragged me up into Nora as her body rocked against me. Pleasure curled through my veins like flames, and my toes started to curl with what I knew by now was the start of my orgasm. I slid one hand down to Nora's clitoris and kept rubbing her love button as her pussy pulsed faster. I knew I couldn't hold back my own orgasm for too much longer.
Oh, it's going to happen again.
Nora threw back her head and giggled as her pussy clenched around me. Her eyes fluttered as her chiming laugh rang out through the night air.
Yes, come in me, please. Oh, come in me. Give me everything, oh, master.
A mushroom cloud of pleasure exploded in my body and obliterated my senses for a few toothachingly perfect seconds. I could feel my ecstasy racing out of me in fiery currents, and as I floated back down into my body, I could feel my balls emptying into Nora's hot womb in one last heroic spurt. As I settled back down into the comfortable silk couch with Nora's warm body blanketing mine and felt my own cum slick my legs, I vaguely wished that we were safely at home under a thick blanket in front of a hot furnace, instead of in the middle of the woods. My hearing came back with a whining ring, and the yellow light dimmed down to a dull green. As I regained my senses and my muscles relaxed into the soft silk cushion, I realized that I couldn't see the moon or the campfire anymore, and I couldn't hear the instruments or the girls singing. All I saw above me was the familiar old thatch of my lab, and all I felt was soft silk around me and Nora in my arms. My gin had transported me back home while we'd made love, and the rest of my women were stranded.